£1,000 in a smartphone app that's designed to give you a speedy and accurate diagnosis. Dr. Ali Parser from the project explains how the system teaches itself to become a better doctor.
What we're giving the machine is a significant amount of data and knowledge, and then its ability to interact with you so it can teach itself from the knowledge that it has already been given, as if it went to university, and learn from every interaction from you how to become, how to diagnose you, how to predict your healthcare, and every time it does so, to learn from it to become a better and better doctor. And as it does that thousands of times a day, say if it did consultations millions of times in practice, then it becomes significantly a better doctor than any human being in a lifetime can be.
Wow, now that is a claim, isn't it? Now, first, of course, technology came for working-class jobs, and now, clearly, as you see there, it's coming for the middle-class jobs. Rob Wortham is from the University of Bath and is an expert in machine ethics. Rob, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Quite a claim there by Dr. Ali Parser.
Yes, I think it was quite interesting what was said there, because she said that the system was initially populated with some information, and so it could make some decisions, and then those decisions would get better over time as the software got more experience dealing with patients.
Because you've used the app. What was it like?
Yeah, so I just tried it a couple of times this morning. I put in a strange diagnosis of a pain in my hand. And I just have a pain in my hand, and it asked me various questions. Was there any swelling in my hand and various other, did I have a fever, that kind of thing. And it went through maybe 12 questions and then told me to go to the doctor, which I think was probably exactly the right thing that it should do.
Right, okay.
And then I, so it was great. So I mean, I think that's brilliant. Yes. And then the second time I just had a runny nose, you know, and I went through and asked me if I had a fever and all these different things. And in the end, it told me I'd be fine. I just had a runny nose, so not to worry and I'd get better. So I think that was really useful in both cases.
Well, this, of course, when we look at the pressures, increasing pressures that are being put on the NHS, increasing pressures on GP surgeries, the role of pharmacists being involved in a much more kind of holistic way of looking at how we treat ourselves, this could have far-reaching consequences, couldn't it? Ramifications for you know, saving the NHS money.
Yeah, I think it could. I think there are some things to be concerned about. Like, for example, if you keep going back to your GP with, apparently insignificant complaint, they'll realise over time that there might be something underlying that's more serious. But if you search for that information, if you search for diagnoses from different places, so sometimes one app, then another app, then eventually go to your doctor, they haven't built up that history with you. So they may send you away saying, well, you still just got a runny nose.
But I mean, doctors I've spoke to, I know a number of doctors, they're annoyed enough by Dr. Google, of course, which everyone seems to consult before they go to their GP these days. Yeah. This is could potentially set to annoy them even more.
Perhaps. I think it depends how the technology is deployed. And the way I'd like to see it be deployed is in partnership as another tool that doctors can use. I think that's the best way that we can. So we use lots of tools already. We use spreadsheets, you know, to be able to make sense of large amounts of data. And we use databases to store far more phone numbers than we can remember in our head. So this is just another technology, but we should try and use this technology as a tool rather than absolving ourselves of the responsibility.
And what about data protection in all of this? Because you are loading in symptoms that you are having. Now, yeah. This is hooked up to the internet. Therefore, of course, as soon as it's connected to the world, it can be hacked into.
Yeah.
So that's a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a worry. But I guess that's no different from the fact that your medical records are stored online by the NHS. And they could be hacked into. And they're most likely to be hacked into by people who have some sort of access to the system already, not hacked into from external places. But and the same thing would apply here. The question is, how much do you trust the people behind the app?
Absolutely, absolutely. And what fail-safe? Well, there's no such thing really as fail-safe, is it? So they can find a way around it, someone who's dedicated enough. But the kind of investment they're going to put into the security of this app.
Mm.
I mean, do you think this is something that the NHS should take on, should start perhaps investing in at this stage?
Yeah, well, they already have this telephone service 111 where you ring up with non-emergency conditions, you know, and they take you through a kind of triage process.
Humans are involved
over
in that.
Over the phone, yeah, but I'm sure they're just asking a set of questions, you know, on a script. And probably those are based on the NICE guidelines, you know, which is this kind of, again, they've taken experts' knowledge and they've codified that and come up with a set of, like a flowchart type thing, to decide, based on certain answers, which way you go. Mm. So in that sense, I don't think it's that different. I think what you need to do is to make it transparent. So you need to probably have come back with some confidence so that the user knows with what confidence the system is operating. And below a certain confidence, you need to go and speak to a human doctor.
OK, thank you very much indeed. Rob Wortham there from Bath University, who's an expert in machine ethics. It's now 31 minutes past 3. On digital-